This is SDM Assistant Editor Courtney Wolf, and I will be your host for our special Earth Day podcast all about being green in the security industry. Many businesses across the country, including security manufacturers, security integrators, and others, are willingly doing their part to develop more sustainable and environmentally friendly business practices to reduce their carbon footprint and save energy and resources as well. But the question is, can companies be both successful and environmentally conscious? The answer is yes, they can. In fact, security integrators say they have seen countless positive benefits in many areas of their businesses with some of the green steps or practices they've implemented over the years, including increased employee engagement and operational improvements. Today we are speaking with John Burke from G4S, Morgan Cassidy from ASSA ABLOY, and Jonathan Pine from Renova Technology about the steps their companies have taken to become more environmentally conscious. We hope you will come away from listening to this podcast with some ideas you can implement at your own companies so the security industry as a whole can become a little more green. So, to start, can each of you guys sort of introduce yourselves and the green efforts that your companies are making?
Hi, Courtney. John Burke here from G4S. We don't really classify ourselves as a green company. We're taking more of a sustainable effort, and we've been committed to that for about the past 10 years. In 2009, the company began reporting through the Carbon Disclosure Project, and we're looking primarily at fleet and building energy efficiency here in the United States and around the world, of course. So we track company-wide, globally, we track half and full year greenhouse gas emissions, electricity consumption, air travel, gas consumption, water, waste reduction, and recycling.
Great.
And we have several efforts that are attached to all of those things. I don't know, should I tell a little bit more about those?
Yeah, if you want to go into detail about the different efforts that you guys are making, that would be great.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. So one of the major things here in the Americas region, we do a lot of video conferencing, mm-hmm. and we often have travel restrictions, which helps us, you know, reduce our footprint. We have an online training platform where we've, last year alone, in North America, I believe this is a North American number, it might be regionally, and we tracked, we logged more than 2 million hours in online training. We have a fleet management program where we try to choose the most fuel-efficient models for our cars when we have our fleet turnover. Also, we have a cache solution that we've developed where cache solution technology that's resulted in 40% to 60% fewer journeys by cache transportation vehicles. Now, we don't do that here in North America, but it's very big around the world and in Europe as well. Also here in 2011, we moved into a new building. So we've been here like 8 years now. And it's an energy-efficient building. We have an EPA Energy Star rating. We've had that for about 5 years now. It's a smart building, and we have equipped with light sensors and energy-saving devices. So, and we get audited annually on that. And we're proud to say that since 2017, our CO2 emissions globally have been decreased by 3.5%.
That's great. And so, Morgan, do you want to tell us about what you guys are doing?
Absolutely. And thanks for having me. And happy Earth Day right around the corner. So sustainability, I'm Morgan with ASSA ABLOY. And for us, it's sustainability is it's being integrated into all of the business processes at ASSA ABLOY. So that's the manufacturing, the product development, sourcing, and it comes into sales, too. So for our green efforts, that basically means you're doing more with fewer resources. So we have a focus on saving energy as well as reducing the consumption of materials and other resources in the actual production of our products. And in practice, what that looks like is understanding where a product comes from, what's in it, how it's made, and we also focus on the human health and wellness of the building occupants. So that's what we're focused on for our green efforts at the ABLOY.
That's great. And then, Jonathan, I know that Renova is kind of unique in the fact that your company is basically, you know, built on being green and being sustainable. Do you want to go into that in a little more detail?
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me as well. Actually, our sustainability is somewhat of an accident because we didn't start out to be that way, but we're a 24-year-old aftermarket repair services company, and our core focus has always been the component and board-level repair of complex electronics. Of course, in this case, we're talking about commercial security. And by virtue of the services we provide, we help our customers, companies, I'm not sure if we repair for any of G4S or ASSA ABLOY at this time, but the services we provide help the customers' efforts to make their technology sustainable. The green effects are essentially a byproduct, and I recently calculated that over the 24 years, we've kept about 20 million pounds of electronic scrap and plastics from winding up in the landfill. And that's purely calculating the products that we've actually repaired rather than just recycled. So what we do is we help companies such as G4S or ASSA ABLOY or integrators or manufacturers to make their green and sustainability efforts successful.
That's great. And so then, you know, you guys kind of fell into it at Renova, but Morgan and John, when and why did you guys, you know, start making these strides towards becoming green and decided to make it a priority?
Yeah, Courtney, like I said, it was about 10 years ago in 2009 when we signed on to the Carbon Disclosure Project and the UN Global Compact and such. So I think and this was predated me at the company. Mm-hmm. So, but I know they really take a close look at fuel consumption, both vehicle and building consumption, right? So there's this twin benefit. The benefit of reducing that environmental impact, and it reduces the cost of the business because they're always looking to squeeze more, you know, for the bottom line, right? Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much compliance driven internally, and it's just a good business practice.
Yeah, I think ours is pretty similar. It's a good business practice, and I think it's two things for us. It's a matter of demand, and then it's global responsibility. So we're driven by the market and our customers' demands, and to meet those needs of the progressive building standards that we're seeing. So, I mean, we have customers and employees that are making changes in their personal life to go green or make more sustainable choices, and they want to see that reflected in their workplace and in the products they consume, too. So we also have a customer-focused approach to it where we want to help them prepare for that future to build a safer and sustainable and more seamless business. And then on the part of global responsibility, as a company, ASSA ABLOY is all over the world, and it has a very large global footprint. And with that, we think that there comes a responsibility to improve the products and the processes. And it comes down to it's the right thing to do for us.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, you guys have faced a few challenges, but what would you guys say has been the biggest challenge in becoming a green or a sustainable company?
From the G4S standpoint, I think it comes down to scale. We operate in 90-plus countries. We have 540,000 employees around that mark, and it's kind of hard to coordinate all of those efforts. So I think just the size of the company makes it pretty challenging. But we do have policies. We have a board that CSR, Corporate Social Responsibility Board at the executive group level, that checks in on that, reviews it, and oversees all of the programs. But it still is a challenge. It's a big world.
Well, for Renova Technology, in the context of the services that we provide for the commercial security industry as a whole, the biggest challenge has been the challenges that the industry faces in servicing the end users, who are far more demanding than ever before in terms of reducing risk by equipment always working. So that translates into integrators have to replace equipment rather quickly, cameras that are down, DVRs, NVRs, et cetera. And so the biggest challenge for us has always been to repair product in a fashion that's quick enough so that the integrators can meet their SLAs. And I would say the second biggest challenge has been in educating the industry as a whole as to the viability of repairing and extending the life of out-of-warranty equipment. This is something that is really rather new in the commercial security industry, whereas it has been quite well known, and there are many companies who do this in the computer and other industries.
Yeah, I definitely think the scale is a challenge, getting everybody on the same page. And I think the biggest challenge that I've seen, at least, is changing the status quo, sort of changing the hesitation around the fear for change, and that mentality that we're doing it this way because we've always done it, and making a shift to understand that it's, you know, we're not doing these things. We don't have these initiatives to make life more challenging or make anything more challenging. It's for overall improvements for the well-being of inhabitants of the building and helping energy efficiency. And the good part about that is that it ultimately saves money at the bottom line at the end of the day.
Right. And then one tricky thing is that green and sustainable isn't quite the same thing. I know that ASSA ABLOY kind of, you know, really makes a point to differentiate between the two. So, Morgan, do you care to kind of explain that difference?
Absolutely. To me, being green implies an environmental awareness, like an earth-friendly approach sort of thing, which is a great start. The term sustainability goes a couple steps beyond that. Sustainability means meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability for future generations to meet their own needs. That's what I was always preached. So it encompasses not only the environmental impacts the way you term green would, but its social and economic impacts too. And sustainability is striking a balance between being environmentally aware and supporting your community, and also, you know, still being able to have a strong economy. So it's tying all those three things together instead of just saying, "Oh, going green is just only for the earth. We're only paying attention to the environmental side."
Right. And then, so with your guys' different companies, have your, you know, greener sustainable practices enabled you to have a healthier workplace environment or attract more potential employees to work with you?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I don't have anything on that one. I don't have any, you know, evidence or proof of that.
I have only one, and it's always been difficult to attract technicians. And as a result, we've always relied on older engineers and technicians. I'm 66 myself. But by virtue of being focused on a company that is about sustainability, actually the millennials get it. We've been able to attract much younger people than ever before. And over the last couple of years, the average age of our employees has become much younger.
Really?
And that's a good thing.
What would you say that average age is now then?
Well, the average age was in the late 40s.
Okay.
And it's now in the late 30s. And I think that's partly due to some retirements, but the new technicians, the new engineers coming in are not old school. They're young people, and we're pretty happy about that.
Right. And Morgan, have you seen anything sort of like that at ASSA ABLOY?
Yeah, I have, and I can speak from personal experience, because that was a reason that I was attracted to ASSA ABLOY, because it's something that is impactful to me. And I think it goes back to that same point of that people want to live and go to school and spend time in healthy and safe environments, and it's no different for the workplace. And I think millennials, I suppose, and the future generations expect to see that in the work world as well, and work for a company that has forward-thinking goals and initiatives that could be very attractive to the younger crowd, and I would think elsewhere as well.
Yeah, and then so sort of on the other side, do you think that these green or sustainable practices have had a financial impact on any of your businesses?
If I might address that first, one of the major sales tools that we have, because once again, it's a matter of educating the industry as to the viability of repair versus replacement on out of warranty equipment, is demonstrating the actual financial savings. And for example, last year we estimated that we saved customers approximately $10 million as a result of repair versus replacement, which really comes down to extending the life of existing equipment by another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I'd say definitely we've seen a marked financial impact. I don't have any specific numbers, but through like fleet optimization, choosing those fuel-efficient vehicles, imposing travel restrictions, having more video conferencing meetings instead of jet-setting across the country to have our meetings. Our sister company, AMAG Technology, developed a plug-and-play symmetry system, access control system that you don't have to rip out all the existing wires from the Kazi Rusco times, and they can plug and play a new access control system with the existing infrastructure. I mean, that those are some of the technological innovations that have helped. In our cache, like I said before, our cache solution that's really revolutionized the cache and transit business has really helped reduce the number of vehicles on the road, idling, things like that. So I think it definitely has had an impact on our earnings and finances, definitely.
I think so, too. At least at Asa Abloy, it's a business enabler for us, and it sets us apart from the competition, and anything we can do to differentiate ourselves is a leg up. And off of your guys' point, everybody cares about money. It's, no matter who you're talking to in the room, everyone is there with different goals and different perspectives, but no matter what, if you can save money, that's a powerful story to tell, and it's definitely, if you're saving energy, you're saving money. So it's certainly had a financial impact on our business and for our customers' projects and buildings as well.
And so have your customers sort of, directly addressed you about these green or sustainable initiatives, or do any of your customers require their vendors to meet certain sustainability levels?
Yes, for sure, Courtney. Here at G4S, we get loads of mostly our bigger customers. They'll send us in carbon disclosure questionnaires, sustainability questionnaires, where they want to know if we're tracking our climate input, carbon disclosure, energy consumption, sustainability practices. They want to know if we have an existing program that's tracking and addressing and hopefully reducing those things.
Our customers require that that we follow many procedures and rules with respect to recycling of electronics, and that's something that we respect a great deal of the security industry.
Yeah, I think the stuff that comes across my desk is our customers, as far as meeting certain sustainability levels, they have expectations for us to examine our products under a microscope and completely understand their impact environmentally and before and after the product is installed. We have some building standards that we're working on where we have customers that are looking for every chemical abstract number down to 100 parts per million. And when we're able to bring that type of transparency, I think our customers and realize how Asa Abloy products can help go beyond just securing a space and meeting their sustainability objectives. There's definitely very high expectations for meeting sustainability levels, at least on a product level.
And, well, now that we've, you know, gone into the nitty-gritty of what each of your companies are doing to be more sustainable and more green, let's start looking at, you know, the security industry as a whole. And so I guess compared to other industries, how do you guys think the security industry ranks in terms of greenness?
I'd say, you know, from my perspective, I'd say it maybe lags a bit because I don't think the security industry traditionally – is seen as a big polluter, you know, since we're security officers. However, there's a lot of, you know, if you go to the technology side, maybe that might be more, maybe some of our technology friends online might be able to add something to that.
I think that I would agree that, first of all, the security industry is not necessarily as mature as some of the other industries. So the policies have not been as fleshed out as much. But based upon what I've just heard regarding Assa Abloy and G4S, I would say that it's actually quite good.
I think it's important to look at how I think there it's come leaps and bounds from where it was. Looking at how old the industry is, it definitely it's a heavy lift to tackle sustainability. Especially compared to other building material manufacturers or building material products. These are super highly configured products that come from thousands of suppliers. So to look at where we are in terms of energy efficiency and transparency, I think there's still a lot of room for improvement, but I do think there's some credit due, and it's on the right track, I think.
Well, that's good to hear, you know. And, I mean, I guess, is there anything that you guys wish that industry associations would do to kind of, you know, get more security companies to go green?
That's a good question. I thought a little bit about that. I don't know, maybe recognizing. I don't see, like, at GSX, for example, if there's any – I'm not sure if there's any, like, awards given out there or presentations giving at these big trade shows where they're talking about green practices.
Right.
That might be one way they could do that to support that and promote it.
What I would like to see, if possible, is more recyclable materials in manufacturing. Obviously, there's a lot of products that cannot be repaired, and there are products that are eclipsed by technology and they need to be replaced. We have a tremendous challenge in disposing of plastics. Metals and electronics of all kinds there's a demand for them, and they get recycled. But the challenge now that China is no longer accepting plastic waste from the United States, it's a challenge to get rid of it in a responsible fashion.
Right.
And we all know about the plague of plastics in the environment. It would be good to see more reusable materials in the manufacturing process to try and minimize what eventually does wind up as waste.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think, John, going back to your point earlier about when you get these requests for transparency or reporting on your carbon and your waste and your water, I think industry associations have done a pretty good job of setting the bar high and putting out these challenges for companies like us to improve. So I would say continuing to set the bar high because it does make us better as companies. And I would say given the choice, we'd like to see the products and the companies that have done their due diligence and looked at their products and practices. We'd like to see those on the choice being given to companies and products that are making strides in that area.
Yeah, and Morgan, since you sort of mentioned this, are there any, you know, specific organization initiatives that you sort of want to shout out as being, you know, great for sustainability efforts?
Well, I think there's a lot. We work with a third party that helps us They're called Green Circle, and they help us produce EPDs, or environmental product declarations, health product declarations, and declare labels to be able to communicate this to our customers. Just product or project teams that are going for those LEED standards and the Living Building Challenge and WELL building standards, because you know they're called challenges for a reason, and I applaud all the teams that try and take those on, because they're difficult, but you do have support.
And a lot of our listeners work at small family security businesses. What are some first steps that they can take in making their company more green?
At the risk of repeating myself, it would be wonderful to see the electronics which have been replaced and tend to sit in integrators' trucks for a long period of time not wind up in a dumpster, but actually wind up at a facility where they can be recycled. That would be, it's last year, I read just recently, there were over 50 million tons of electronic scrap generated in just 1 year in the U.S. that wound up in landfills. And it doesn't take much to add up to that amount. Of course, the security industry is a very small portion of it, but I would like to see greater recycling efforts.
Yeah, to piggyback on what Jonathan just said, I mean, the plastic thing, great, you know, don't throw it in the dumpster, right? So I think smaller companies can look at what their impacts are and how they're making those impacts, right? So then they can look at opportunities and how they can mitigate the impacts. You know, for example, they could not put the plastics in the dumpster. They could find a recycling facility where they could bring that stuff. They could replace light bulbs in their building, the more energy efficient appliances and such like that. They could insulate their buildings. They could replace vehicles that are, you know, more fuel efficient models. So, and even on the vehicle side, I know the carbon intensity is pretty big with vehicles, right? So there's some companies even monitor staff driving habits to ensure their employees are driving at the posted speeds as well. And that's something that we do here as well at G4S. So all of those little things can help.
And I think there's a lot of work that's already been, you know, that's been done that you can just look at and copy almost. There are, you know, there's innovation going on everywhere. So you can just pick and choose what you want to, what would work for you. And something that, I mean, I try and put everything through the filter of the old adage that reduce, reuse, recycle, and in that order. So reducing when you can, reusing things if that'll work in that situation, and then finally recycling. And then to the point earlier, a lot of the stuff that ends up in landfills can be recycled and maybe could have a life after the use phase or the way we're using it right now. There, maybe we can find another use for it somewhere else.
Right, and I love all of the ideas you guys just gave, but some may argue that they don't want to go to the effort of becoming green because their waste is just a drop in the bucket. I mean, what would you say to those people?
Geez, I'd say, you know, every drop in the bucket is going to fill it eventually, right?
Right.
You know, just step in the right direction. It's easy to do. I mean, when I thought about this question, I think about my home consumption. You know, I have my paper bin, I have my plastics and metal bin. And I tell you what, I fill that thing up every week almost to the top, just based on, like, canned goods and things from my fridge that I'm throwing out, you know. But other than sending them into a landfill, I'd rather send them to a recycling facility. And that it adds up. Everything adds up.
That's a good point. I find myself carrying non-working cell phones all the way to the office so it can be disposed of properly. I feel guilty if I were to throw them away. Does add up.
And I think, yeah, that's an excellent point. And just reminding people that when you are throwing things out, your garbage or recycling, when you're throwing it out, it doesn't mean it's gone. It's still going somewhere. It still exists somewhere. And it's filling landfills and affecting things that maybe you can't see in front of you, but it does have an effect. And I think that it's our responsibility to take a look at ourselves as individual actions, like the paper in the bin, and make improvements, and try and if you're not recycling, try and recycle, and if you're putting things in landfill, then just be aware that it doesn't just go away. It's still here and it's still affecting things.
Absolutely. And then, so for each of your guys' companies, you know, what are your future green goals and what is your timeline for completing those goals?
Here at G4S, we're trying to minimize our environmental impact and carbon intensity year over year. It's a yearly goal, right? So, but in 2019 specifically, they recently published that our goal for this year alone is to reduce our carbon intensity by 3.5% per year. That's the current goal right now.
That's great.
We have similar goals at Asa Abloy. We're constantly innovating new technologies and approaches to help people have a better experience in the spaces they use every day. And part of that is meeting reduction goals. So we have our own 2020 goals, and they'll reset for 2025. So that's water, waste, carbon, hazardous waste, and we have an overall, our goal for 2020 is an overall reduction of 20% for our manufacturing sites for efficiency and functioning. And part of that is maybe meeting those needs with renewable energy, and then also providing regenerative and energy storing products to the offering so that customers have continual energy savings and energy reduction. So not only doing it for ourselves, but making that possible for the people that use them.
I would say that the largest goal that we have right now, or the one that we're striving for, is to try as much as possible to eliminate paper usage and determine reusable packaging materials, as there are so many packages that go out from our facility. We'd like to be able to use the same ones over and over, or at least more than once, and that would be saving a tremendous amount of trees, etc. As far as setting an actual timeline for it, we have not. We're simply an ongoing effort.
Well, that's all we have for today. I want to give a huge thank you to John, Morgan, and Jonathan for taking the time to speak here today. And I hope that those listening have found their insights as valuable as we do here at SDN. If you have any questions or comments on anything we discuss, please email me at wolfec@bnpmedia.com or call at 847-405-4032.